Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
He wants you to be invested in the kingdom of God. He said, make friends for heaven with what God has provided for you, with the mammon of this world. Take the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and use that and invest it in the kingdom of God. And help those who are poor.
We are wrapping up our series, High Resolution, Seeing Jesus More Clearly. We've talked about running our race for God with endurance, living like a servant, walking humbly, and making love the priority in our lives. Today on Practical Christian Living, we're looking at the instructions we receive from 2 Corinthians chapter 9 on giving and giving generously. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Part of worship is the singing and praising that we do. Part of worship is the gathering together with other saints who love God, developing relationships, getting to know one another, being there for each other. Part of worship is when we open up our Bibles and we begin to read Scripture together. We begin to talk about what it means and how it applies. And part of worship is in giving to the Lord as well. It was a part of worship in the Old Testament, and it's a part of worship in the New Testament. Over the series that we've been doing called High Res, I've wanted to talk about things that can impact you through the remainder of the year. The very first thing that I talked about was Hebrews chapter 12, laying aside the weight and the sins which so easily ensnare us, and let us run the race that God has put before us with endurance, just evaluating our lives. We talked about servanthood. Remember when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, and the importance of humility, and how God is on the side of the humble, but he rejects and is against the prideful, and how important it is for us to be humble. We looked at 1 Corinthians 13, and we talked about the importance of love, which is in everything that we do. We talked about 1 Corinthians chapter 1, about who we are in Christ, that we have been given everything, and we are enriched in everything. Then we ought to live like that. We've been given all things in Christ Jesus, and we should live that way. And I believe that giving is one of those things that I have gotten a hold of in my life many, many years ago that allows me to demonstrate the faith that I have in God. That when I give, Jesus said these words, give and it will be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over will men give unto your bosom. I think there's a reason that Jesus gave that command to give and that encouragement to give. We go back to the Old Testament. In fact, let me read you a couple of passages here. Let me get my Bible open to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I might have said 8 a couple of times, but 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I heard you guys mumbling. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And let me just read you a couple of passages. You and I just went through the book of Deuteronomy together, and it was rather enjoyable. Those of you who weren't here for that study, you might not think that Deuteronomy could be enjoyable, but it really was. And there's a couple of passages on giving out of Deuteronomy. One of them says, it's Deuteronomy 15:10. It says, give generously to him and do so without a grudging heart. Then, because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all the work and in everything that you put your hand to. So that's kind of the command in the book of Deuteronomy. Remember, Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. You certainly were told in the book of Exodus to give your tithes and offerings to the Lord. So giving to God, Deuteronomy 15, but then Deuteronomy 16:17 says, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. In chapter 15, he's talking about giving to the poor. In chapter 15, he's talking about giving to the priest, giving to the Lord, coming into the storehouse and giving to God. In both of those, God's promised that if you give, then you're going to receive. Under the law, you had to give 10%. Sometimes people will come up to me and say, hey, I was just wondering, how much should I give? Or how much do I tithe? And I always like to joke with them and say, don't ever ask a pastor that. How much should I give? Well, how much do you have? Let's see how much you're going to give. Well, a tithe is 10%. So if you want to tithe, then that's not a bad place to be. It's a good place to be. Then you give 10%. But in the Old Testament, if you didn't tithe, Malachi came along and said, you're stealing from God. Now, there are those who love to reject everything else in the law, but they like to hang on to that tithing. There are pastors and evangelists who love to hang on to that principle of tithing, that you're stealing. If you're not giving to God, then you're going to give your tithe to God, then you're stealing from God. But we are either set free from all of the law or we are set free from none of the law. But even in Malachi, God said, you're stealing from God, but then God said, test me in this and see if I will not open up heaven and give unto you. Test me in this tithing. God was saying, test me and see if I don't respond when you tithe. God not only gave them the warning that they needed to tithe because they were robbing from God, and who wants to rob from God? And I'm certainly not saying that we are under the law where we're robbing from God if we don't tithe, but God also added in, and I will bless you. When you are generous, when you give, and we'll talk in a little while about the amount that you would give, but when you give, you open yourself up to receive back from God. And which one of us doesn't want that? And God isn't asking for you to give because God needs your money. God's not up in heaven going, I'm running a little light now. Just hoping you guys would be able to help me out some. We give because we need to give. We give because God knows that we need to be a part of what He's doing. Do you need to invest in the kingdom of God? We give because God knows that money is a quagmire to us. We get our feet stuck in money. We get greedy. We stack it up here on earth. We get the wrong perspective about it. And so God wants us, I read Deuteronomy chapter 15. If you read that passage that I read in context, it says, have an open hand. Open your hand up to the poor. Open your hand up to those who are in need. Open your hand up to the house of God and give what you have, because God knows that you and I struggle with this issue. This is an issue we struggle with. And I'll also say that traditionally, pastors and especially television evangelists have struggled with it as well, where they make the topic all about money. Every week for them, it was, especially in the era of the TV evangelist back in the 80s and the 90s, it was all about keeping those doors open for them. It was all about them receiving as much money as they possibly could. So it's not, all of us struggle financially. All of us struggle with the concept of money. And so God wants you and I to be generous. God gives, and God wants us to give. And so He's given us these incredible promises in the Bible. Give and it will be given unto you, Jesus said, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. The passage that we're going to look at, the amount at which you give is the amount you're going to receive. You sow sparingly, you receive sparingly. You sow abundantly, you'll receive abundantly. God didn't give us those verses to appeal to our greed. Oh, I'm going to be rich now. God will give back 100-fold. God will give back 10-fold. 10 times. 10 times, I give 100, I get 1,000. I give 1,000, I get 10,000. I get 10,000, I get 100,000. Hey, then I give 100,000, I get 1,000,000. I'm just going to keep giving to God until I get it all back. God's not appealing to your greed. The idea is to get you ungreedy. Is that really a word? Is ungreedy a word? That's what God wants. It's not a proper sentence, I understand. That's what God wants to do. But God wants to appeal to your generosity. He wants you to look out and help. He wants you to be invested in the kingdom of God. He said, make friends for heaven with what God has provided for you, with the mammon of this world. Take the root of all kinds of, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and use that and invest it in the kingdom of God. And help those who are poor. Help those who are struggling. I quote quite often the passage that says, when a man gives to the poor, the man lends to God, and God will repay. I'll ask you again, do you believe it? Do you believe that God will open up a window in heaven and bless you abundantly when He gives to you? So in the Old Testament, there was this need to tithe, and if you didn't tithe, you were stealing from God, but God also added on that blessing. But if you do bless and you test me in this, then I'm going to bless you. And God gave it. Now we live in the New Testament times. Never once in the New Testament is the concept of a tithe reiterated. I understand that Abraham was the first one to tithe, because people are going to go, well, tithing precedes Moses, before the time of Moses, because Abraham gave a tenth to Melchizedek, and that's the beginning of tithing. And Moses later on came in and made it part of the law. So when the law was done away with, tithing is still there. I understand what you're saying. I just don't happen to agree with it. I think you're making a lot of leaps in your logic to be able to lay on people that kind of a burden. And here's the thing that I think that God doesn't want us to do. In fact, I'm quite sure Jesus doesn't want us to do it, because he said it. He told the scribes and Pharisees, you lay burdens on men's back that are hard to bear, and you yourself don't lift one finger to lift it up. The last thing that God wants us to do in the church that is supposed to open doors and make it easy for people to get into heaven is to put up barriers, to put rules and burdens on people that aren't there. So before I say, oh, this is part of what God wants from us, I want to make sure that the scriptures tell us that that is the way we are supposed to live. Now, that doesn't mean that we aren't to give. We've been told to give. What it means is that you determine what you give. You pray prayerfully what you're going to give. It might be 5%. It might be 10%. It might be 25%. Who knows? It's whatever God lays upon your heart, and then you give that to him. And the promise, even though the tithing was never reiterated in the New Testament, the promise of God blessing when we give was reiterated over and over and over again. In other words, God took away the bad part of the law, but he left the blessing that if you give, you put yourself under the blessing of God. You are finding favor with God. Now, this is a biblical principle. It's not just a principle that you find in giving. It's a principle, the Bible says, if you're merciful, then you'll receive mercy. In fact, it says the mercy you give is the mercy you receive. It's almost exactly like giving financially. If you give a little bit of mercy, you get back a little bit of mercy. If you're very merciful, then God is very merciful to you. I always like to ask at this point, anybody here need a lot of mercy? I got both hands up, okay? Anybody here want a lot of mercy? Then we ought to be the most merciful people around. At the rate we give mercy, the rate we say, you know what, I don't understand everything. Doesn't look good. A lot of things can't look, doesn't look good, but I don't understand everything. So rather than judge them because I don't have all the information, I'm just going to be merciful. The more mercy I can give, the more mercy I receive from God. You know, the Bible also uses forgiveness in the same way. The Bible says, if you won't forgive, you will not be forgiven. I don't know if it's the forgiveness that you get is the forgiveness that you get back, but Jesus clearly said, you and I have to forgive. He even had us pray in the daily prayer, not that we're to recite it daily, but these are to be aspects of our daily prayer. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us this day our daily bread. That's a mix-up of that whole thing. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us, so that even the forgiveness we receive is connected to the forgiveness that we give. The Bible says, judge not, lest you yourself be judged. And so there's all of these connections about what we do and how we receive back from God. In a way, we're paving our own way. In a way, we're showing God by the way we treat people around us how we want God to be treating us. So it's not the only place that you find that principle. Now let's talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 8 here for just a moment. Paul is writing to the church of Corinth that is in the biblical region of Macedonia. Macedonia is the region of Greece today. Macedonia, Greece, fell under the Roman Empire. The town of Corinth was a town like most towns during the Roman region during the first century. They were struggling financially. Rome itself had an abundance of wealth, but cities under Rome were struggling financially because Rome kept upping the burden of taxes. They wanted to get more and more from the regions. So every region was suffering financially. When Paul talks about the heart of the Corinthians have plenty of problems. We're going to be, next Wednesday night, we're going to continue in our study in the book of 1 Corinthians. We'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll see. Oh, they have a slew of problems. But their generosity wasn't one of them. They, when they heard of a need, they stepped up and gave to that need, even though they themselves were struggling financially. Because as much as the city of Corinth was struggling, as well as every other city in the first century in the Roman Empire, Jerusalem was struggling even more. Because the church in Jerusalem, the Christians in Jerusalem, were not only in an impoverished region that had heavy taxes, but they were excommunicated from the local system of what could take care of them, the Jewish system. And they weren't receiving anything. And so when you became a Christian in Jerusalem, you were making a commitment to God, and you were also, you knew what you were doing. You were cutting off your livelihood, and you knew that you would suffer financially because of it. How many people would come to Christ if that's the way we did altar calls? Hey, if you want to give your life to Jesus, listen, you're going to really suffer financially, but give your life to Jesus. But you know what I find? I find that that kind of sacrifice or a step up to say, you know what, God, I'll give up anything to follow you. I find there's something very real about that. There's something that resonates inside of us about that kind of a commitment. That was the church at the people of Corinth. And so Paul had spoken to them about these impoverished Jewish Christians. Corinth is a Hellenistic Gentile Christian church. There's some Jews there, but they're mostly Hellenistic, which means Gentile. They're mostly Gentile and Greek Jews. In Jerusalem, they're almost all Jewish Christians. And so Paul has told them of the poverty they're facing, of the struggles, and of the difficulties. Paul has also told them of the church in Jerusalem that has needs. We know he's talking about the church and those who are ministering. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he says, those who preach the gospel will live by the gospel. It's the same passage where he says, don't muzzle the ox while he's treading the mill. So he's collecting money from the different Gentile churches to be able to bring back to Jerusalem for the poor Christians who are there and for the church leadership who are preaching the gospel. Those are the two reasons Paul's gathering money from them. They're the same reasons you and I give. You and I give to the poor, and you and I give to the work of the gospel. And so Paul starts off by writing to them that they prepare the gift beforehand. And I like that. He says, now concerning the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Acacia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Yet I have sent to the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, that I said that you may be ready, lest if some of the Macedonians come with me, they find you unprepared. We, not to mention you, should be ashamed of the confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort you, brethren, to go to you ahead of time and prepare the generous gift beforehand, which you have previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not of a grudging obligation. So Paul says, I told you about what we wanted to do. Paul had a vision to collect funds from the Gentile churches and to bring them to Jerusalem to bring relief to the churches that were in Jerusalem. Paul shared that vision. People promised that they would be involved in it. And Paul now says, prepare this so that when I get there, I don't have to get the gift ready. Paul didn't want to have to manipulate them. I've seen so much manipulation in giving over the years. When I first came to Christ, when I was 15 years old, it was fundraising was brutal. You'd go to church and they'd be, how many here want to give $1,000? Raise your hand. Or they get, God told me 10 people are going to give $1,000. Now raise your hand. Those who are going to give $1,000. And you stand there until 10 people raise their hands. Now God told me that 20 people are going to give $500. But 20 people, those kind of events happened on a regular basis. They would manipulate in order to give. God doesn't want us to manipulate. God doesn't want us as a church to manipulate you. If we manipulate you to give, then nobody is helped. Number one, the church isn't helped because God certainly doesn't want the leaders of a church to manipulate God's people. It's like shearing the sheep. You're supposed to take care of the sheep. You don't go out and shear the sheep. They're God's sheep. And number two, God doesn't want you to give when you're manipulated to give. Now, if you are manipulated to give and you give, I believe that God will honor that. Years ago, there was a group called the Power Team. I don't usually say who they were, but do you guys remember the Power Team? These guys would tear phone books in half, and they would break ice with their head. They just did all these kind of things. They're just huge guys that did stuff. And I took my son to go see them. my oldest boy. And they got up and they read a letter about a girl that was going to kill herself, was thinking about killing herself. And she saw them on TV, and she turned away from this. She didn't commit suicide. It's a great letter, great testimony of ministry. It's awesome that God would use something like that for that. Then they read a letter of another girl who killed herself. And then, in essence, he said, we weren't there to stop her. So if you give to us, this is what he said. If you give to us, you're voting for this letter. He held up the letter of the girl who didn't commit suicide. And if you don't give to us today, you're voting for this girl, the one who committed suicide. I had taken out, like, I don't know, 10 bucks or something to put in the Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket that was going to go around. And I put it back in my pocket. And my son said, Dad, are you voting for the other letter? I said, I'll talk to you later. I'll tell you later. I became angry because that's just manipulation. God didn't want us to manipulate. I don't have any problem with them saying, listen, we're doing a good work. We're reaching people. I want to read you a letter. And he could have read the letter of the girl who had come to the point of committing suicide. This is what we're doing. This is a fruit of what we're doing. If you guys want to be a part of that, then we'd love you to be a part of that. We're going to take up an offering for that. That would have been great had they stopped there. There's nothing wrong with informing people about a need. There's nothing wrong with saying, we're doing a good work. We would love you to partner together with us. When you step over the line and begin to manipulate people, there's a problem with that. That tells me you're not trusting God, that you can't just say, I'm going to let God speak to people's heart and really bring it in. And I don't know if those kind of things work on a physical level or not, but I know that I never want to be involved in it. Paul didn't want to have to go and give them pressure to give. Paul wanted them to have the gift ready that they promised that they would give. And so Paul says, give out of generosity. Again, that's the whole message. That's the whole title of our message. Look at the end of verse 5 again. That it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. God doesn't want you to give out of obligation. And so then he gives us the heart and the attitude that we ought to have when we're giving. This is to both the church, the work of the gospel, and to those who are poor. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one of you give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Boy, there's a lot there. First of all, that we determine what we're receiving back from God. Paul didn't say, give a lot, then God's going to give back to you a lot. God says, you make the choice what you're going to give. You're going to give a little, you receive back a little. You give a lot, you receive back a lot. There's a benefit to giving more, and he's encouraging them to give more, but he's not saying you have to do this. The amount that you give is directly connected to the amount that you have. If someone here tonight has $5 to their name, and they say, you know what, I'm going to give God this $5. You know what you just did? You just gave God everything you have. You say, well, what a drag that I only have $5. Yeah, but what a great thing to be in a position to give God everything. Like the woman who put the two mites in the box in the temple. Jesus watched them give. They blew trumpets before they gave. They gave a lot of money. They talked about how much money they gave. When they gave it, they gave little speeches. And a woman comes by and puts in 2 cents. And Jesus said to his disciples, she gave more than the rest of them. Because they gave out of their reserves, but she gave everything she had.
Practical Christian Living is a ministry of Calvary Chapel Tucson and is edited from Pastor Robert Furrow's weekly teachings. To hear current and past teachings, go to calvarytucson.com. If you'd like a CD copy of today's program, write to us at Practical Christian Living, 5170 South Julian Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. Please include $3 to cover postage and materials. Practical Christian Living is made possible through the generosity of donations. Thanks to your support, hearts and lives are being changed. If you would like to support this ministry, send your donation to Practical Christian Living, 5170 South Julian Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85706.
With every donation of $25 or more, we'll send you your choice of Pastor Robert's series through 1 Timothy, Pass the Torch, available on CD, or A Fading Crown, a study through 1 Samuel, available on USB flash drive. Our address, once again, is Practical Christian Living, 5170 South Julian Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. We thank you for supporting this ministry. May you come to know the incredible grace and peace that can only come from Jesus.